Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, yesterday we brought you a story from Oakland, California, about two moms, one black, one white, deciding where to send their kids to school. Like in many big cities, the public schools in Oakland are largely segregated by race and class. And critics say the district's enrollment policy is part of the problem. Zadie Stavely from Here and Now contributor KQED brings us the second part of our series.
Marina Munoz is walking her daughter to school in East Oakland. They pass an old mattress lying on the curb, then some abandoned cars. They cross an empty lot littered with piles of old clothes and smelly trash. To Munoz, the picture is clear.
Here in East Oakland, we are all poor. Poor in everything, including education.
Munoz's kids go to elementary and high school at Madison Park Academy. It's almost entirely Latino and African American. Nearly all of the kids qualify for free and reduced lunch. The principal there has made a lot of improvements in recent years, with wraparound services for kids and families. Still, Madison Park Academy has larger than average class sizes and low test scores compared to the top-tier schools in the district. And that bothers Munoz. She's convinced her kids are not getting as good an education as kids in the wealthy Oakland Hills. One of her most frustrating moments was last year. Her son was a junior in high school, an important year for kids trying to prepare for college, and he had a sub for months.
He would call and say, "Mom, come get me. I'm not doing anything." So how are we going to send our kids to college if we don't have well-trained teachers?
Munoz never considered sending her children to one of the top-performing schools in the Oakland Hills. When she first moved here from Mexico, it took her 2 months to figure out how to enroll her kids, let alone send them to a school outside her neighborhood.
I didn't have a car, and it was just too hard to walk far or pay for the bus. We wouldn't have enough money for food.
Transportation is a serious issue in this district. Oakland Unified doesn't offer free travel to get to a school outside your neighborhood. But even if Munoz could get to a Hills school, many of those schools wouldn't have space for her kids because they fill up with kids from their own neighborhoods who get priority, neighborhoods that are mostly white and wealthy.
I feel very strongly that there needs to be a conversation and a system put into place to desegregate the schools.
Tanya Harris used to teach at one of the top performing schools in the district, Crocker Highlands Elementary. While black families have moved in and out of the neighborhood over the years, today it's a wealthy neighborhood that's mostly white. And there's a historical context for this. This community was one of the first in the state to have racial covenants that kept African Americans out of the neighborhood. The federal government outlawed covenants in 1968. This Oakland neighborhood didn't officially lift them until 1979. After teaching at Crocker for 5 years, Harris began working at schools in high poverty neighborhoods, like where Marina Munoz lives.
And then I would drive down that hill and, you know, past those beautiful huge homes and tree-lined streets, and I would get on the freeway and then I would get off. I brought tears to my eyes and I thought, it's like I live in a third world country.
Harris says when you have such stark inequity in neighborhoods and most children go to their neighborhood school, you're creating a two-tiered system of access.
Access to everything. Access to health care. Access to, obviously, jobs. To grocery stores, access to the educational experience that kids and families deserve in order to interrupt these continuous cycles of poverty.
Back in 2003, when Harris first started teaching at Crocker Highlands, she says there was space for kids from outside the neighborhood. At that time, she says many white families living in the neighborhood were sending their kids to private school. So Crocker Highlands was more evenly divided between African-American kids, many from other parts of Oakland, and neighborhood kids.
My first PTA meeting, I'll never forget it. The PTA members were talking about how important diversity was. And then, several years into my experience there, that narrative shifted significantly.
What happened is Crocker Highland families started working to get more of their neighbors to send their kids to Crocker. to invest in the neighborhood school and improve it.
There was an active group that was working with the local realtor who was really intentional about, you know, selling homes to people who are going to be committed to sending their kids to Crocker.
Over time, more and more African-American kids from outside of the neighborhood were simply squeezed out. Today, 60% of Crocker Highlands students are white. 10% are black. Only a handful qualify for free and reduced lunch. The irony here is that white kids in Oakland get to go to school with kids not like them. Many kids of color in Oakland rarely have that chance.
Our schools really reflect what is a housing segregation issue.
Janelle Scott is an associate professor of education at UC Berkeley and an Oakland parent.
Our embracing of neighborhood schools without any kind of affirmative plan to interrupt neighborhood racial segregation patterns means that our schools are largely going to look like our neighborhoods look, and our neighborhoods are quite segregated.
What if we were to say we will never allow school to have more than 80% free and reduced price lunch or less than 60%? I don't know what that buffer zone is.
Oakland Unified's enrollment director is Charles Wilson. He says the district plans to apply for a federal grant to try to integrate the schools socioeconomically, maybe offering spaces at high-performing schools to kids from low-income neighborhoods.
It is a priority. It is also a very thorny issue that's going to require a lot of delicate movement and include the community in.
School integration plans are often met with lawsuits and white and wealthy parents fleeing to private school. Hard as it may be, Janelle Scott says integration has to happen.
For me, it comes back to, well, what kind of society do we want to have? Do we want our children as young adults to be able to get along with each other, to know about each other, to be respectful of each other?
Oakland's diversity, she says, is an incredible opportunity for people to really understand each other across lines of race and class. Schools that are integrated are one of the rare places where that understanding can begin. For Here and Now, I'm Zadie Stavely.